Hear something fresh from a very familiar passage, and we know that in order for us to hear something fresh, we really need your spirit to be speaking to our hearts. So use this time to build up the church in agape love that you call us to. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today's scripture passage on this Mother's Day is 1 Corinthians 13, without a doubt, the most frequently quoted passage at weddings. I used it yesterday. And really one of the most wonderful chapters in the whole Bible from the pen of the Apostle Paul, written to a first century Christian congregation in Corinth. Now, anytime we take a passage of Scripture, it's always important to set the context, so I'm going to do that first. Always important to read when you take a chapter of Scripture, what did it say the chapter before? And in chapter 12, Paul has been writing of the interdependence of the members of the body of Christ in the church. And 3 weeks ago, I preached on that passage, and the gist of it was, we are Christ's body, and as a human body has many parts that are all interrelated and interconnected, and we need every part in their diverse functions. So it is with the body of Christ, and each of us has a part in the body of Christ. And then Paul goes on at the very end of chapter 12 to talk about the different gifts with which we serve the body of Christ, the different gifts that the body has. Everybody has a different gift. But then he goes on in the very last statement to say, now I want to tell you about the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift to give one another. And then he goes on to chapter 13. And remember, this is a congregation that Paul's addressing here. And he's talking to them about the kind of behavior that is supposed to be in place for one another in the church. Okay? So let's move to the first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, which is the same thing as preaching, really, speaking the word of God. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So, stopping there, without love, everything fails. That's the point of the first three verses. Without love, everything fails. You can deliver the greatest spoken message, but all speaking fails in God's purposes if it's not delivered in love. You can be the smartest person in the church. You can be so intelligent and have a great grasp of the Bible and theology and have fresh, rich spiritual insights. But great knowledge and intelligence fail in God's purposes without love. In the scriptures, it also says that knowledge just puffs up, whereas love builds up. What a difference. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. You can have mountain-moving faith, not just kind of normal faith, but the kind of faith that just believes God will do the impossible. And you could have experienced God to do that in your lifetime, and so your mountain-moving faith has just been edified and edified. But mountain-moving faith will fail in God's purposes ultimately without love. You can have a heart for the poor. You can go on mission trip after mission trip. You can tithe and give lots and lots of money to God's work and check all those things off on the list of things we know we're supposed to do. But if we don't have love, it's nothing. It's all nothing in God's purposes. Without love, everything fails. Well, next, love is defined specifically. Now, I'm going to go through these qualities one at a time. But I want you to keep in mind that all these qualities are the result of the Spirit of God residing and shaping our character over the course of our lifetime. We are each of us on a journey with these qualities, growing in them as we are yielded to the Spirit of God. Really, this chapter is a description of the love of Jesus Christ for you and I. So as I run through these qualities, I don't want you to be thinking for any of them. Don't be thinking, boy, I really need some help with that one. Well, you'd be thinking that. Well, what I really want to say is as I run through these qualities, I want you to be thinking, as I'm thinking, I really need better communion with God so that He can produce more of that quality in me. It's not so much, well, I really got to work on that one. Now, human effort is involved, obviously. Human effort is involved, but think, we've been at it a long time by our own human efforts, haven't we? We've been at it a long, long time, and how much farther have we really gotten by our own efforts? So it's not, well, I really got to work on that one. It's, I need more. I need a better relationship with God so that He can produce more of that in me. Verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So let's take one at a time. Love is patient. Love will wait for you. Love will wait for you without getting irritated. And love will wait for God, trusting that He is in control of the details of our lives, even in those times when, by our own estimation, we don't think that's the case. Love will wait for you. Love will wait for God. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's soft-hearted, and it's thinking about what you might really appreciate. Love says, here, let me help you with that. Love does not envy. In other words, it doesn't focus on what somebody else has, but rather is filled with gratitude or seeks to be filled with gratitude for what one already has. Now, just those three, just take those three. Do you see what I'm getting at? Do you see what I mean when I say we can't do that on our own? I mean, we can make a stab at it, but we're going to fail. We need the helper, the counselor, the Spirit of God working in our lives. Love is not proud. Well, there's an easy one for us. Not to be proud, but humble-spirited, forgetful of self, and not touchy when slighted or overlooked. Love is not rude. Love returns messages. Love gets back to you. Love is considerate on the roads. It lays off the horn. It you know, when you look in your rearview mirror, love isn't going, I wonder how some of those people can continue to drive. I mean, their arms are up in the... Love is not self-seeking. Love is not about self-fulfillment. It's a choice. It's a decision. Enough said. Love is not easily angered. It has a long fuse. Love keeps no record of wrongs. There's an easy one. Keeps bitterness and resentment under wraps. And when love forgives, it doesn't bring it up again. And when love is wounded and feeling sad about that hurt, love holds out that wound to Jesus, the great physician, for healing of that wound and sets the wounder free. Releases the wounder to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll add something to love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm going to add something to the Bible here. I'm a pastor. I can do that. I'm going to say love also keeps no record of rights. In other words, the good things we do, the right things we do, in our love, we're to take no accounting of how our love may have paid off or played out or what our love may have earned or gained. Love just spends itself freely in emulating Jesus. So love keeps no record of rights as well as love keeps no record of wrongs. Again, only possible with the Spirit of God working in our lives. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. In other words, love does not secretly celebrate when bad things happen to certain people or when good things are happening to others and they're not really going very well for us. Love is glad for that person anyway. Now, maybe the easiest one of all, because of the word always, which is repeated 4 times in this verse. Love always protects. Love always trusts. In other words, always trusts God and is prone to give the loved one the benefit of the doubt. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. In other words, love always hopes for better times to come by the hand of God. And love always perseveres. Always, 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 always. Anything done in this love lives on and on for ages, for generations. 1 Corinthians 13, love is what this says is that if it's really love, it lasts. Otherwise, it doesn't. If it's really 1 Corinthians 13, love, it lasts forever. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, it's really the only force. Love is the only force which grows and expands on its own terms. Well, finally, the first 3 words of verse 8, and I close with these words. Love never fails. Can we see that if we are hitting on all cylinders with regard to these qualities we've just run through, our love will never fail. But yet, our love does fail and fails repeatedly. And that's why we need God in our lives. And that's why every day, first thing, we ask for the filling of the Spirit, our daily bread, so that we can be helped along degree by degree in this transformation that the Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. So it's otherwise, you know, if we're not inviting the Spirit of God in and receiving the Spirit of God in faith on a daily basis, none of this is going to work. And you might as well take 1 Corinthians 13 and rip it out of your Bible because it's a pipe dream. Seriously. You understand? Don't read it. It's just an exercise in futility. Only Jesus could do it. And only his Spirit in us can do it. In and through us, degree by degree. And to the extent that he's invited in and yielded to, and to the extent that he's working in us and helping us and guiding us and counseling our hearts, our love will never fail. And that's the way it is. May 13th, 2012, and every day thereafter. The grass withers, the flower fades, people come and go. The Word of God stands forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. We thank you that your Word is truth forever. Thank you for 1 Corinthians 13, but oh boy, how short we fall. And how much we need the help of your Spirit, incredibly so, ridiculously so. So we would ask that you would fill us today on this Mother's Day and each day with the power of your Spirit for living this out. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn.